This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. The National Labor Relations Board has done a complete about-face. The board recently voted 3-1 that graduate students working as teaching or research assistants at private universities are indeed employees with a right to collective bargaining. That ruling overturns a 2004 Bush-era ruling that took those bargaining rights away. So how might this recent ruling impact working conditions, pay, and benefits for all graduate employees? With us now is John Ware, the president of the Graduate Employees Organization at the University of Michigan. John, welcome.
Hi, great to be here.
Now, this ruling from the NLRB pertains to graduate employees at private universities. Could it have an impact on folks who are at public universities like Michigan?
You know, it doesn't have a direct legal impact on public universities, but I think it has an enormous symbolic importance. We really are all part of a big national movement in higher education. And I think the strength of that movement anywhere, it does have an impact on graduate employees across the country, both at the private and the public institutions.
Now, I think for a lot of us, we don't fully understand the academic hierarchy that exists on campuses and where graduate employees fit into that and exactly what they do. So could you break it down for us?
Yeah. So graduate employees work doing a number of the functions of the university. So the two big categories that you hear about, for example, in the NLRB ruling are instruction and research, which you really can think of as the two most important missions of almost any university, right? So, for example, at the University of Michigan, graduate student instructors are responsible for about 23% of student contact hours. So we teach courses. We hold discussion sections and language sections. We teach labs. We hold office hours. We do grading. So those are all instructional functions. And then graduate student research assistants are really, along with postdoctoral researchers, the main category of people who are in the lab doing the research, or in the field, or, you know, on the computer analyzing data.
So there's a lot of contribution on many levels from graduate employees. So what kind of issues led to the creation, for instance, of the Graduate Employees Organization at Michigan? I mean, you're saying this part of a big conversation and an increasing awareness of where graduate employees fit in and how things could be better. So what led to the creation of your group?
So the GEO is one of the oldest organizations of its kind in the country, and it's actually 15 years older than I am. And so I can only speak to the creation secondhand, but I can tell you about some of the issues that are kind of have always been of paramount importance for graduate employees. At the time the GEO was founded in the 1970s, it was not common for graduate employees to have health insurance. Many were uninsured, and it was not common for us to have tuition reimbursement. And I really see those as issues of access, right? Many of the graduate programs are really long, and if you have to pay tuition, they would be enormously expensive. And that education would be accessible then only to people with a lot of independent means.
Sure.
So I think now it's become much more common, especially in PhD programs, to have tuition reimbursement. And certainly by no means all, but many of the graduate employees at many of the institutions now have health insurance. To a large degree, that's because of the work that was done by the early graduate unions, you know, in the 80s and 90s.
It certainly seems that there's a real back and forth as this conversation continues. And we, you know, as we talked about this recent ruling from the NLRB, whether graduate employees are indeed employees or are they students who are getting a chance to learn more by teaching? Is that kind of been the tension back and forth between where universities stood versus where the graduate employees stand?
You know, I think that dichotomy is often set up between are we employees or are we students? And I think as the NLRB recognized in their ruling, it's really a false dichotomy. We are students and we are employees. And the universities have sometimes tried to argue that we can't be both.
Surely it's to their bottom line benefit to have you be students who don't need to get a lot of benefits and pay.
It certainly is.
Yeah. I guess as we see this decision coming down saying that the folks who are at private universities have a right to collective bargaining, you're saying that this really kind of sends a big warning shot across the bow, if you will, in the conversation about what can and should happen with graduate employees. How could union representation and collective bargaining be a game changer?
I think there are a couple of areas that are really key. One is the bread and butter issues, compensation and benefits, which at a lot of the universities are still really meager, especially compared to the cost of living where a lot of the universities are located. You know, even a place like Ann Arbor it's a very expensive place to live. The cost of housing continues to go up. So that's sort of bread and butter issues. But I think another big category is workload. Graduate student employees have a lot of responsibilities to balance. In addition to their paid work, they're often taking courses and or they're trying to do their own research and write their dissertations and maintain sufficient academic progress. And if the paid work component of the program takes up too much time, it really detracts from what can be the student's academic progress. That's a place where there's an opportunity for a lot of improvement.
I think parents and students who are paying tuition are going to look at this from another point of view. What might this NLRB decision ultimately mean for the instruction or the caliber of instruction offered in classes taught by graduate students?
You know, I think it's said a lot, and I think it's true, our working conditions are our students' learning conditions. And an instructor can only really be at their most effective when they have adequate time and energy to prepare for the course, when they're not preoccupied with their financial situation, with whether they're going to be able to make rent or to buy food or whether they're going to be crippled by medical bills. And I think we are going to see a real improvement in the quality of instruction at the private universities as the graduate students do organize and do form themselves into unions. And their general quality of life improves. I think that's going to be good for their students also.
All right. So we have this decision that applies to research assistants at private universities. How long do you think it will take before this filters out into public universities as well?
You know, the public universities are governed by state labor law. So it differs from state to state whether any graduate employees are entitled to collective bargaining. And secondly, whether that's only instructional work or also research assistants.
So, what's your take on what might happen in Michigan?
So I really do hope that the states, and especially in our case, the state of Michigan, will take a cue from the Labor Relations Board. But frankly, it is a political issue, and there's a lot of ideological control in the state government, some folks who are really just anti-union in all cases. And so I think, you know, there are some in government who really are going to be moved by the argument and by the experience of the private universities as they unionize and find that to be good for the institution. So hopefully some of those folks will come along. But there are others who are just ideologically stuck in the mud, and I don't see them going anywhere.
Now, could a university take a look and say, you know, yeah, maybe we do need to step up the game?
Well, I think actually the University of Michigan in a lot of cases has tried to do that. Mm-hmm. So there was a big organizing drive here for research assistants in 2011, 2012. And the regents of the university actually declared that they weren't going to interfere in that drive and that the research assistants could make their own choice. And so I think the university actually did see it see the issue pretty clearly, and it was the state government that stepped in and overruled them.
So you're wearing a T-shirt that says GEO Contract Campaign 2016-2017. What's the point of the campaign?
That's right. So we bargain a new contract usually every 3 or 4 years, and this year we'll be bargaining a new contract for graduate student instructors and graduate student staff assistants. They're mostly librarians. Mm-hmm. So we're a democratic organization, and it's always up to the members what the priorities are in bargaining. But I can tell you that we have, over the last couple of years, fallen behind the cost of living in Ann Arbor, especially with the cost of housing going up as it has. So I'm sure that's going to be a big issue. And then we're always concerned to hang on to the great benefits and protections that we already have in our contract, and not to end up paying more for health insurance or to lose the protections we have on our work hours.
John Ware, president of the Graduate Employees Organization at the University of Michigan. John, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.